5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 22 this morning. You know, we left off, remember, with when the slave or the old dead man has his way. The works of the flesh. Paul listed 17, I believe it was, sins of the works of the flesh. Now we're going to move from the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. Works, plural. Fruit is singular. But let's read this morning, beginning in verse 22, the text we're going to be covering. Paul the Apostle writes, and he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no such law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And the church says, amen. This morning, we're going to talk about us, the believer. We're going to talk about when the Spirit has His way in our lives. Remember in chapter 5 there in verse 16, walk in the Spirit. That's the command. It says, if you'll do so, you'll receive the promise, and that is not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. However, we learned in verse 17, there's going to be that ongoing, continuous struggle between the slave and the Spirit, okay? Now, but then after we have that struggle, doesn't matter, we're going to have it all the rest of our life, and we're going to win in Jesus' name. Then comes the adventure. You know, you hear me say a lot about the word adventure, going from glory to glory to glory, that process we call or the Bible calls sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, transforming him into the image of Christ Jesus, and it's all done, of course, by the Holy Spirit of God. So sanctification is a process. It's ongoing from glory to glory to glory. But let me say something about that. Going from glory to glory to glory in the adventure with the Holy Spirit, following Jesus upon this planet that we live on, doesn't mean it's going to be without conflict. It doesn't mean it's going to be painless. It doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer persecution. The Bible says through many tribulations, we enter into the kingdom of God. Amen? Okay, so it's very important we see that. We left off with a verse that is tragic. Paul the Apostle, when he lists the 17 works of the flesh, the slave in me, that old man, that old nature, he said, those who practice such things, the 17 sins that he listed, he said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The word practice, as we've learned, means those who practice an habitual, ongoing lifestyle of those sins. It literally speaks of someone who does not and could care less in a way of being set free from any of them. You know, we don't want to walk in any of them, amen? And that's a frightening verse. But then something happens in verse 22. There is a glorious word. The very first word is but. Don't ever rule out all the buts in the Bible. Do you understand? Because they're very important. That word but is like a door. It's like a hinge upon the door, and it swings open for us. And then that's when the adventure begins, when the Holy Spirit of God truly has His way in your life because you are owned by God. Amen? We're His purchased possession. So that word but there is wonderful. You see, when you open that door and you start following the Holy Spirit, what happens? You just discover your gift. You discover your calling. That's the area where water walkers live. Do you understand? That's where angels open the prison doors and set the captive free. That's where you're moving into a place you can't even imagine. That's where intimacy with the Holy Spirit is found, is right there in verse 22. Now, with all that being said, let's look at it together. Talking about when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has His way in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love. Did you notice that it didn't say that the fruit of Bill or John or Betty or Susie is love? Did you catch that? That's very important because if you don't get that, you're not going to get any of this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's singular, okay? Now listen, one fruit we're going to study, one fruit that's manifested in our text by 9 graces from God. But it's not your fruit. It's the divine attributes of God living in you. It's the Holy Spirit's fruit. Amen? Boy, if we get that, if we find out and understand that we're not the source of this fruit, I don't know about you, it excites me. See, I don't have to grow into loving people. Does that make sense? Although we do in a way, but it's already there. Because it doesn't belong to me. It's not my love. It's the love of God. And I say, oh, Lord, you are incredible. I mean, think about that. The Holy Spirit himself is the direct source of God's incredible love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And fruitfulness can only come to a person who is truly abiding in the vine. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? Are you excited about the Lord? Let me tell you something. Jesus is coming. No, he's coming. He's coming. He said he's coming quickly. He said, you better watch because I'm coming at an hour you don't know. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. It could be right before I finish this sermon. Amen. Jesus said this in John 15:1. He said, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser, the divine farmer, if you will. He says, and every branch in me, he's not talking about a tree branch. He's talking about a disciple, a believer. He says, every branch, let me read it this way. Every disciple in me does not bear fruit, well, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Jesus says, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Now, he's referring back in John chapter 13, the upper room discourse, where he's speaking to his disciples, and he's also speaking to us as well. He says, abide in me, live in me, have union with me, draw strength from me, draw nourishment from me. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch, the disciple cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Listen, real union with Jesus always produces real fruit. Amen? No one can live the Christian life apart from Christ. Christ is Christianity. Amen? Now, fruit then is just a natural, ongoing process of simply abiding in the Lord, hanging out with Christ, living through his strength, living through his life, reigning in this life by one Christ Jesus. That's all it is. When you look at an apple tree, there they are, the apples are hanging, and you know, we've used this for years here, and probably everybody else, every other pastor too, but you know, have you ever seen, you know, when an apple comes on the tree and they're hanging on the branch? Are they straining? No, are they going, apple? No, it doesn't work that way. It's just a natural relationship. Why? They're tied into the tree. They're tied into the vine. And that's what happens with us. Jesus said, I'm the vine, or I'm the source of all life, in other words. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Without me, that means severed from me, apart from me. You can do absolutely nothing. And let me say something else. Without Jesus, that person is not a believer. Amen? You have to be born again. So Jesus wasn't saying that, okay, you can live this life and you really can't do anything special. You can do a lot of things special. But if you don't abide in him, you cannot and will never do anything of eternal significance in the life that Jesus has given us. Amen? So when we look at this incredible adventure that God has given us, it all comes by walking, being led by the Holy Spirit of God. When Jesus was going away, going to the cross and then going to the ascension and then going home to heaven, he told his disciples this in John 14:16. He says, I'm going to pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That's the word for the Holy Spirit of God. He's our helper. He's the divine helper of the church. Amen? Of every believer. He's our strengthener, our standby, our encourager. He's a teacher. He helps us understand the word of God. Jesus said, I'm going to give you another helper, another one just like me. That's what that word means. that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But Jesus said, but you know him, for he, that's he, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an essence, not a force, not a language, for he dwells with you and will be in you. What an incredible word. Loved one, listen to me. We have the third person of the Godhead in us right now. Right now, we're not only sealed with the Spirit. Jesus used two words. He used the word when the Holy Spirit would be with you, paraclete, alongside of you in the Greek. And then he used another word. He shall be in you, E-N in the Greek. That word literally means this. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Look up that word temple. That's not talking about the outer court. It's or the heron. It's talking about the naos of God. We are the holy of holies of God. Think about that. Man, that blows me away. The Spirit, the divine helper, he's leading us. He's guiding us. And it says, and the fruit of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is God, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now listen, this is not your love. You can't manufacture this love. You can't even learn. You don't have the DNA. Does that make sense? This is God's love. And everything that God does, he does in love. This is the agape, the supernatural love of the living God. The love that treats others the way where we treat others like Jesus treated us. Man, that's an incredible thing to know that is living in me and living in you. This love, loved one, is a choice. You choose to love because you can. It's not a feeling. When Jesus said, you know, I say unto you, you've heard it said, you know, to hate your enemies and so forth. He said, I say unto you, love your enemies and do good to them, to curse and so forth. Well, that word is agape. Agape your enemies. It's not talking there. Jesus is not saying, I want you to have that. I want you to take them home, cook them dinner, love, and all that. You know what I'm saying? That's not it. That ooey-gooey, whatever else was supposed to go with that. You know, a sloppy agape. I don't know. No, listen. It's not. It's a choice. I choose to love you because I want to obey the Lord. It has nothing to do with emotion. It has to do with my obedience, amen, and your obedience. So he says, listen, no, the fruit of the Spirit of God is love. This blows me away. Does it blow you away that God in his incredible grace, his incredible love for you, says, you know what? I'm putting my love, I'm going to share my perfect love, which is uncaused. The love of God, God loves everyone equally. Amen? His love doesn't go up, it doesn't go down, it is perfect. He says, I put my love, that kind of love, in you. I don't know, but I get so excited for the privilege of knowing that living in me, that living in every believer is the love of the living God. I mean, it blows me away. Did you know that only a new creation can have in him God's love or the agape of God? No unbeliever has that kind of love in him at all. I mean, he can love on a sensual level, the unbeliever, so can we. We can love on storge or whatever, a family love or Philadelphia, a phileo, that brotherly love. We can all do that. But only a Christian, only a believer can love with God's love. Because it's not, you can't find that kind of love on earth. It only comes down from God. Amen? Yes. You see, the Bible says in Romans 5:5, it says, and this hope does not disappoint because the love of God, his very own love, the love of God, has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto you. It's all by the Spirit of God. Listen, poured out. That word means poured out lavishly, and it's in the Greek it would be continuous. It's never ending. God's love is never ending, and it never fails. Amen? Now listen, It's living in you right now. If you're a believer, you have it inside of you right this minute. And you know what? When the Spirit has His way, if you're truly walking with the Lord, you have to let that love out. It's manifested in your walk. It's manifested in your talk. It's manifested in all that you do. Why? Because it's a living love from God that no unbeliever has, only a believer has. Loved one, I don't know. That excites me. You know, today there's such a confusion. There's a confusion over the gifts of the Spirit and a confusion along with the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, which are so predominant, say on TV and all the rest of stuff, and the gifts of the Spirit are wonderful. Man, I believe in the gifts. However, to confuse them, we get in trouble. Remember that the gifts of the Spirit, they show your ministry, don't they? Okay, a gift of the Spirit, we all have a gift of the Spirit, a supernatural gift. Could be giving, could be encouragement, it could be serving, it could be pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, whatever it might be. Those are divine gifts that only can come down from God. They live in all of us. But they only show our ministry. See, the fruit of the Spirit, though, the fruit of the Spirit shows and demonstrates to everybody else our maturity that we have in Christ Jesus. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit, I mean, a person comes and a one-day old Christian can come up and pray for somebody and, Lord, heal this person and they can be healed. Amen? Does that mean they're mature? No. So the gifts of the Spirit in no way show or demonstrate a person's maturity. Never. Nor does it demonstrate their depth of character. Those are gifts. Fruit is totally and completely different. Now listen, all the gifts of the Spirit operate only by love. You study out 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 14, all about the gifts of the Spirit. What did God sandwich right in between chapter 12 and chapter 14? Thank you. Chapter 13, it's all about love. What did Paul say about the gifts of the Spirit? He said in 1 Corinthians 13:1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men, tongues of angels, but if I don't have love, I'm just a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery, every mystery in the world, and though I have all knowledge and have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I can bestow everything I have, all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned or become a martyr, but if I don't have love, Paul says, it profits me nothing. Nothing. I am nothing. I'm really in the Greek, I'm a useless nobody without God's love. Listen to me now. The agape of God, God's love manifested in you, is the highest evidence that you are truly born from above. It is the highest. It's the pinnacle, if you will. You know, not the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, gifts of the Spirit, walking, I mean, miracles, what does that mean? A person is even saved? That doesn't mean a person's saved. What did Jesus tell in Matthew chapter 7? He was talking about false prophets. And he said, listen, you know, a good tree can only bear good fruit and a bad tree can only bear bad fruit. By your fruits, you will know them. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What a verse is that? These people were sincere, whoever they were. Lord, Lord, they believed themselves saved. You know, raising your hand or saying, Jesus is my Lord, is only the beginning, isn't it? Yeah, there's a lot more that comes after that. That's when you start walking out your Christian life. And Jesus says, listen, many will say to me in that day, many, meaning many through the ages will say to me in that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? Those were all gifts of the Spirit. Now listen, what I'm about to read to you will tell you something. Number one, Jesus did not condemn their preaching. Jesus did not condemn them casting out devils or prophesying. He didn't condemn any of those things. But listen to what he condemned. He said, and then I will declare to them, the ones that go, Lord, Lord, I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. Oh, I know who you are, but you're not part of me. I never knew you. And then these words that are so horrible, depart from me. You doers of iniquity are literally, in the New King James, it would say, you who practice lawlessness. That word, again, means those who, they're not doing the will of God. They just, that lifestyle of lawlessness, meaning sin, repeating sin, and never-ending sin, and so forth. Man, listen, you know, it's so easy then and today. I see it all the time. Many people, boy, you can go to a service just like this, and you can experience the presence of God. Amen? In our worship, oh, Lord, I know you're here and so forth. Even an unbeliever can do that. And an unbeliever can experience not only the presence of God, but they can experience maybe even the power of God in their life. But you have to have the person of God living in your heart. Amen? You have to be born from above. So the fruit of the Spirit, His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, not stuff that belongs to us, that He places in us, is love. What a glorious word that is. Listen, Christianity is God's love in you in action. Remember Galatians, I don't know what it was, 5:6 or something, was to say, faith worketh by what? By love. Faith expresses itself, how? Through love. It's always in action. It's always moving forward. The entire law, as we've learned in Galatians 5:14, stands fully fulfilled in one word. Ye shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then that new commandment that Jesus gave unto us, there in the upper room, hours before he was to be placed upon the cross, he says to the disciples, he says to this generation, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And then he tells us how, as I've loved you. The same degree that I loved you, you love one another. Therefore, love one another. And by this, the entire world, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another as I have loved you. That's the key right there. Loved one, coming to church doesn't prove anything. Oh, amen? Come on. It's that love that is in us. Fruit is the total, complete test of the Christian life. And fruit is not works, okay? Don't confuse that. That's not works at all. This one fruit of the Spirit manifested in these nine graces, look at them, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Man, that involves self, it involves others, it walks our walk with the Holy Spirit as well. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, and here comes the next one, is joy. Whenever the Holy Spirit truly has His way in our hearts, truly desire to be led by the Spirit, man, God's joy is manifested in our hearts. There are times that we can be, I'm not talking about happiness, that comes from the world. I'm talking about joy. That, see, this joy comes down from heaven, amen? It's supernatural joy. Everything, every fruit is also are supernatural, and they're living in us. I need joy, don't you? The joy of the Lord is our strength. I need strength to live this life. And that joy belongs to us. It says in John 15:11, Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you that my joy may remain in you. His joy, Jesus' joy. And that your joy may be full. That's unbelievable. His joy, and it may be full. That word means filled to the brim. It means to be overflowing. And listen to me now. The joy, the results of this joy, how does it come? It comes from obedience, being led by the Spirit of God, by walking with the Spirit of God. See, yo-yo Christians, serving God one day and not the next, or one week or whatever, they are miserable people. Did you know that? Yeah. And the Bible says about this joy, it says in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not eating, it's not drinking, but righteousness, that word means living the right way, living the way God wants you to live, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. So the direct result of living right is that joy, that incredible peace. And how is it given? Again, it's only by the Holy Spirit of God. And look at the next one, God's peace. Whenever the Holy Spirit of God has his way in our hearts, loved one, when we're following him, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, God's peace literally will be manifested in your heart, especially when you need it. Yeah, amen, because it's there. It's right in your heart. It's right in your inner man right this very minute because the Holy Spirit is living in you. Listen, this peace is incredible. I go to Colossians 3:15 all the time when I don't know which direction to go and I can't find it in the Word, or maybe it's the unknown will of God. It says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The word rule means to be the umpire. Lord, I don't know what to do. He goes, I'll tell you. Don't ever violate that inner conscience. Amen? If you feel like don't do that, then don't do that. And so forth, because you have, the Lord will help you. So this peace that we have, don't confuse it with the Romans 5:1 peace that's a result of justification by faith, where we have peace with God. That's not what this word means here. It means the peace that's living in us right now. The peace that is available because it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your heart be not troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus' peace, the peace, his very own peace, the Prince of Peace, to have the peace of Christ manifested in our life, in our hearts, is to have his very presence. Amen. And that's what it's all about. The Bible says in Romans 15:13, just a few more, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy, fill you with all peace in believing that you may abound in hope. And here it comes again, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything apart from the Holy Spirit, the divine helper who is living in us. You need it today. You're going to need it tonight. You're going to need it tomorrow. You're going to need it every day of your life, because without the Holy Spirit, you are powerless. Amen? The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, you know that one, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer, supplication, and so forth, let your requests be known unto God. And the God of all peace, peace that passes all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Set up a military arsenal around those two areas, those emotional areas that Satan constantly attacks, loved one. Listen, when the Spirit has his way living in you right now, the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. That's the next one. That means long-tempered. It means slow to anger, not quick to anger. Of course, I have to use that one like I told the first service on 8:20 every day. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people moving here. Did you know that? Yes. Never mind. Love suffers long. That's what it means. See, this is not my long suffering. I don't have that in me. I really don't. But it manifests in my life. You know why? It's not mine. It belongs to God, and it's supernatural. You see, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Amen? The knowledge of the truth. No, listen, this word here, this long-suffering, man, it's so supernatural. It gives you, it gives me the endurance to literally face adversity, persecution, assaults, insults by other people. It says in Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And look at this next one. I love this one. Kindness. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, remember, that love is kind. That's God's love. This is God's kindness. It's not your kindness. But God says, I'm putting my kindness in you because you have the Holy Spirit of God. It is literally supernatural. And this is not, well, I have kind feelings toward this person. No, this is where you say, I want, when you want to be kind. You want to reach out to other people. Why? The Holy Spirit is living in you, and you feel it, you know it, and you go, I want to help that person. You're tender, you're full of kindness. Oh, how we need that today, amen? To be kind one to another. I told Rebecca on the way here this morning, I said, I cannot wait for the children to come and the grandparents to come and the single moms with children to come, where all of us can show kindness and demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to those people. Amen? What a glorious, wonderful, great thing to do. And I say, oh, Lord, oh, you are so kind. And then goodness. That means, goodness means active goodness toward other people. God is good. The Bible says it's the goodness, Romans 2:4, the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. Goodness is such a wonderful thing. God is good. He doeth good continually. Amen? Everything that God does is perfectly good. And in Acts 11:24, it talks about a man called Barnabas, and it calls him a good man. Let me read it to you. Acts 11:24, it says, for Barnabas was a good man. And let me tell you the reason he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit. That word full, loved one, means he, his walk, everything that he was doing, he was overflowing with the Spirit of God. See, we're just a vessel. We're the temple of the Lord. Amen? Temple of God, temple of the Holy Spirit. And I said, oh, wow, to be full of the Spirit, you know what it means? It means where the Spirit of God has his way. You're ready for him to control you. You're ready for the adventure. You're ready to do whatever is aware. And that tells me that Barnabas was always practicing awareness. Why? Well, he was totally consumed, full of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, that's an incredible life, isn't it? Where you just forget about you. You don't even think about you in a way. It's you have so much of God living in you. It's just like it's jumping out at other people that are hurting. Amen? That's what it's all about, to be for the fruit of the Spirit, to be in your life, loved one. So he says here, the next one, faithfulness. Man, that means that it's not talking about being faithful to the Lord there. It's talking about being reliable, being trustworthy one to another. Boy, do we need that today? Oh, we need faithful people. I guarantee you that. Listen, we need people that keep their promises. I have so many people, you do too. I'm going to do this. No, you're not going to do it. You don't keep your promise. I want to be a person that keeps, when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. Amen? You know, the Bible, one of the psalmists, I think it's Psalm 15, probably wrong, could be Psalm 18, doesn't really matter. It says, I swear to my own hurt, I change not. In other words, I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. That's what God wants us to do. God is faithful. The faithful God is living in us. Amen? Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, that most men will proclaim each their own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Proverbs 25, 13, I like this one. Like the cold of the snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. And here's the reason. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. Faithfulness. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Am I faithful? You know, I read an article yesterday, and it just goes along with what I'm saying right now. It was a very sad article. It was just released on the condition, if you will, of Christianity in America. And the article was entitled this, How Christians in America Have Lost Their Credibility. And here are the statistics of what they said in this report. 37% of Christians don't think prayer is essential. I could not believe that. Can you believe a believer, a Christian, not thinking that prayer was essential? Prayer is over the top essential. Amen? Man, listen, prayer is the work. Asking, seeking, knocking is the work. Man, we have to do that. Men ought always to pray and not become discouraged, not faint, not give up. That persistent prayer, or that persistent praying. Jesus said, don't ever give up. Don't ever stop. Listen to the next one. On a typical Sunday, only 20% of Christians attend church. which means 80% of American Christians don't. They're not there. Think about that. Why is it today more than ever that the majority of the church, you know, they, well, about every third Sunday or every fifth Sunday or whatever, instead of every Sunday? Listen to the next one. This is unbelievable. 40% of church-going Christians read the Bible maybe once a month or rarely or never. 40%. How in the world can we not hide God's word in our heart? I don't want to be in any percentage with those people. I'm not being critical. I love people. But I don't want to be that. I don't want that at all. Listen to this one. Only 10% of churchgoers give 10% or more of their income on Sunday. Isn't that sad? That's true. It's true here. As a matter of fact, it's about 8% here that truly tithe. Isn't that sad? Just think what we could do. You know, I'm reaching out right now for the clothes and the shoes for the children for Candy Cane Christmas. You know, to other people, to companies and all the rest. If we all truly gave, not grudgingly, but God loveth a cheerful giver, amen? I wouldn't have to go out and hustle for anything. I'd just write a check, amen? He who hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what has been given. Amen? I'd write a check right now for $100,000. It wouldn't bother me. Why? God says I'm going to pay it back. I don't care how he pays it back. I'm not saying, okay, let me give it back, Bill. No, it could be. Who knows what God wants and how he pays it back. The way he does it would be better than anything we can imagine or think. Amen? Do you believe that scripture? I believe it with all my heart. God built Love Never Fails International on that scripture. Oh, God is so good. Oh, listen. And here's the last one, talking about winning the lost. This is what really got my attention. Listen carefully. They said the greatest key to reflecting the fruit of the Spirit is this, that you never really have to witness to the lost. Let me tell you why. When you exhibit love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and all the rest of them, okay, here's what happens. The lost, they come up to you and they start asking about your lifestyle. They ask, why are you living such a joyous life? Because it astonishes those outside of Christ. Oh, when the Spirit has his way. Loved one, listen to me now. I want you to look at me. In this body that is perishing, my inward body, nature is not perishing, okay? But in me right now, in you, if you're a believer, listen, I have God's love. I have God's goodness. I have God's long-suffering. I have God's kindness. Do you understand? I have God's joy. I have God's peace. His very peace. I have it all right in me right now. How can a Christian walk into the world and all of those incredible supernatural fruit not want to jump out on someone that's hurting, someone that's lost? Where you want, just being kind, can I help you? Can I help you put your growth? I do that all the time at Kroger. You know, they're old people. I'm going to be there one day. I want somebody to help me. And can I put the groceries in your back? I'm not going to shoot you. I'm not going to rob you. It's okay. I'm just going to help you. You know, get that look. Yeah, you know what I mean. Old people are that way. And they need to be that way. But it's in you. And it starts jumping out. If it's not jumping out, there's something wrong with you if you're a believer. You see, that's what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what it means when you give the Holy Spirit his way. It's all of it's in you, and you're just wanting to get out of you to the world, that love that God has. God loves people, man. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I look and I say, oh God, that's what I want. I want that. Look at the next one. Gentleness, or literally the word means meekness. It's a picture, a word picture in the Greek of like a little wild colt. And that you go out and get the colt and you tame him and he comes under the control of his master, if you will. And so this meekness here, Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, right in that area, he said, blessed are the meek. Oh, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Being meek, men, listen to me, doesn't mean to let, it's not letting people run over you and where you're a doormat and you're just meek little. Somebody called me a meek pastor one time. Boy, I wanted to show them. You know, No, what that means is that when others want to run over you, you have inside of you the power to act otherwise. Amen. So you can stand there and be meek and go, oh man, I have God's power. I'm under control of him right now. If not, you would be down. No, do you understand? See, but I don't have to do that. I don't have to punch that person out. I don't even have to retaliate. I don't have to fight back at all. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this about meekness. He said, meekness is not easygoing. Meekness is not niceness. Meekness is not peace at any price. Meekness is when you stop defending yourself and realize that nothing can harm you. I love that. When people come against you, oh, you can be meek. What did Moses do? I was telling the first service in Numbers 12. Remember Miriam, his sister, Moses' sister, and his brother Aaron. They came and they were jealous of him. And they said, are you the only prophet around here? You know, we can prophesy too and whatever, you know, goes on and on. And it says, the Lord heard about this, heard him. And he says, you three, Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, to the tabernacle of meeting right now. Wouldn't you hate God to tell you that? And God says, you know, who? In other words, let me paraphrase. Who in the world you think you are? He says, you know, other prophets, I speak to them, some by visions. I speak to some prophets, you know, by dreams. But to this man, Moses, I speak face to face. Moses, she just spit you in the face, man. And you know what? I'm going to take care of it. And what happened to Miriam? Leprosy, man, her body. Aaron goes, oh my gosh, her body's being eaten up. Oh, God, please. And Moses, what does he do? He intercedes immediately. Meek Moses. The Bible says in Numbers 12:3, Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Think about that. He says, oh Lord, please heal my sister. Don't, please, Lord. And God, you know, he said, well, tell you what, I'm going to lock her up for 7 days. After 7 days, I'll let her back in the camp. But everybody just stop right now. What did God do for Moses, the meek man? See, God defends those who are meek. God fights your battles. You don't have to retaliate. You don't have to do that. I know your old man wants to, but he's dead. You understand? That is a tremendous quality to have, loved one, that fruit right there. And look at the next one. You need that, and I need that every day, self-control, because there is an ongoing, continuous war, a struggle for supremacy of my heart, the slave in me and the spirit of the living God, loved one. No, that's self-control. You'll never have victory. I will never have victory over the sins of the flesh without self-control, meaning the controlling of self. But here's the good news. This self-control that we have is from God. Do you understand that? It's not a human quality. It's a God quality. I mean, I can handle it. I don't have to retaliate. I can say no because greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. Do you understand? And I say, oh, Lord, all of these incredible things that you have placed in us, I don't have to explode in anger. I don't have to get even. I don't have to gossip. I don't have to do any of those things. I just have to love people. I just have to be led by the Spirit of God. I just want him to have his way. I want all of your love to just pour out of me to other people. That's what we should be doing. We're the church. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. That's incredible self-control. And then Paul the Apostle says, there, those last words, he says, when the Spirit has his way against such, there is no law. Paul is saying there's not any law anywhere that can produce this, the fruits that we talked about. Not your self-effort. You can't do it on your own. Does that make sense? See, we can't do it at all. Man, this is a picture of Jesus Christ living in us, where we go from glory to glory to glory into his very image. And then he says in verse 24, for those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And I want you to really key in on this scripture, because this is really the key right here. And we may look at it differently, or not the right way. Let's look at it one more time. Those who are Christ, meaning those who are born again, those who belong to Christ, those who are in the vine, okay? Those who belong to Christ, look what's happened, have crucified the what? That's the slave in you, the old dethroned nature, the old you, the old Billy, okay? It says, have crucified the flesh, and look what it's crucified with. That word with is very important. Its passions and its desires. Now listen carefully. This has, it does, but it doesn't. It has nothing really to do about giving up sin, giving up passions, and giving up the desires of the flesh. What it has to do, though, is about the giving up of yourself. That's the key to all of it right there. This is about, okay, you've been crucified now. This is denying the slave in me and giving the Spirit his way. This is not the natural life. This is now the supernatural life. Amen? Yeah, we belong to Jesus. Listen, those who belong to Jesus, it says, look, self has been crucified. That's past tense, okay? It's already occurred. The slave is dead. We can be done with him. Why? Because we're not seeking to live a crucified life. We have already been crucified. Amen? When Jesus went to the cross, he died not only for me, he died as me. Amen? Amen? I died. Somebody says, I died 2,000 years ago. I died on the cross. When Jesus died, I died. When Jesus rose from the dead, or when he was buried, I was buried. When he rose, I rose with him to walk in a newness of life. Amen? We are right now, our perfect, wonderful position. We are seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Right this minute, it's a final done act in the eyes of God. Live out your calling. Become what you are right now. That's what Paul is saying in this word. Man, how do we do that, Bill? That's our position. The old man's dead. Yeah, you reckon him dead. By faith, you appropriate this divine word, this divine promise from Almighty God of what happened on the cross. Listen, it is time. We live in a time today, and I know I say it and people may, Bill, you're just depressing, but I'm not depressing. Do you want me to lie to you, or do you want the truth? The truth is, everything is decaying. Everything is falling apart. Loved one, when a mother who has a 7-year-old boy has to go to court on whether she can chemically castrate him, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with this world. Of course, come on. There's something wrong. We are the answer. All that God is, he poured into you, into me. We have the answer for every person that doesn't know Christ Jesus. You understand? I look and I say, oh, God, oh, how we need to move forward in this. We need to walk out the adventure by the power of another. But here's the key. And here's the key. There's only one way we can do it. There's only one way for the church to regain what they're losing today. And they have to lose their own life. You hear me? They have to lose their life in order to have life. Jesus telling the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinners. They're going to crucify me. But don't worry, 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. And then he looks at them, and he looks at them all, it says in Luke 9:23. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, here's what the conditions are. He says you must deny yourself. Then the command, you must take up his cross daily and follow me. And then Jesus said something else right after that. He said, for whoever it might be who desires to save his life, go live your life. And I'm just going to, you know, it says you will lose it. whoever loses his life for me, for Jesus, will find it. That's the key, loved one. That's how the Spirit has his way. I deny myself. That word means to completely disown self. It means to say farewell to the old person, the old man, the slave in me. It says to say goodbye. Listen, if you don't deny yourself in the Christian life, it's no longer my will, it's his will. Amen? If you don't deny yourself, you know what you're going to do? You're going to live for yourself. And if, loved one, if you want a God-centered life, then you have to follow him. If you don't, you're going to live a self-centered life. There is no self-denial if the Christian is not following Jesus Christ. There's none. We could be the greatest generation in Christianity. We could turn our world upside down like they did. Because you see, the Holy Spirit directed the activities of the early church, not councils, not committees. Do you understand? Oh, loved one, listen, that's what we need today. Jesus said, you follow me. There's only one way to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit has to have his way in your life. Jesus said in John 10:38, he who does not take up his cross, follow me, not worthy of me. Luke 14:27, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my what? Disciple. The Bible says that we were first called Christians at Antioch. Before we were called Christians, or they were, what were we called? What were they called? The way. What's the other one? The main one. Disciples. Disciples. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I am right now. That's what you are. I am a learner. I am a pupil. He is my master. And the only way I can learn from him is to follow him, to yoke myself up with him. Amen? Oh, his yoke is easy, loved one. It fits you perfectly. He will train you. He'll do all of those things if we live in the Spirit. Oh, but we do. If we live in the Spirit, that means life, real life. If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Conceited. I told the first service that word means having an ego bigger than the church. Provoking one another means to irritate one another. That's what the slave does. I don't want any part of that. If we live in the Spirit, let us then also walk in the Spirit. Now listen carefully. I know it's time to go. I can see the clock. Now listen. The word walk here in verse 25 is not the same in the Greek as it is in verse 16. The command, walk in the Spirit, okay? And you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The word walk in verse 16 is a different word in the Greek, and I like to do this because I spelled it out perfectly so I can say it. Peripeto. Isn't that right? Don't you like that? Peripeto. Peripeto. That means this, an ongoing, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, that you go wherever he wants to go. Amen? That's what that word means. But here in this verse, verse 25, it's a different Greek word, and that Greek word is stoikeo. Let me say it again. Stoikeo. Don't you like that? It makes me feel like I can speak Greek or something. I can't do anything. You know how come I know that? Like I told the first service? I said, I have on my Bible software, when I'm looking up Greek or Hebrew words, and I want to know how to pronounce them, which I need to know because I don't know. I punch that button and it goes, perikeo, perikeo. I'm in my study, you know, at home, and Becky's in the kitchen. Of course, my study's a laundromat, so or laundry room, so we're right there together, right? So I go, perikeo. 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 She shuts the door on me. I drive her crazy. Now, let's get back to the next word. Yeah, stoikeo. That means this here in verse 25. It means to make progress. It means to move forward on a journey. I like to say moving forward on the adventure. The adventure with the Holy Spirit. It means to put, literally in the Greek, one foot in front of the other, to walk in unity or to walk with or to keep step with the Holy Spirit of the living God. It also means one other thing. It means the ABCs, if you will. It means like a little child learning the elementary truths. It literally means then learning to walk. Have you learned to walk with the Holy Spirit? Have you? Do you want to learn to walk with the Holy Spirit? That it's a process to know Him, to hear His voice, to know when the Holy Spirit rises up in you, to know what you could be sitting at the table, the supper table, or and the Spirit of God just manifest Himself. It's a glorious, wonderful life, the life of the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, oh God, then walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? You have to say farewell. You have to say a final goodbye to the slave in you. You see, it's either going to be Jesus or you. Galatians 2:20, what did Paul say? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. Amen? It's not me living anymore, but it is Christ who lives in me. That's the life. Jesus or you? Which one do you want? You know, Oswald Chambers said this. He says, beware of refusing to go to the funeral of your own independence. What a great word. Let me read it again. Beware of refusing to go to the funeral of your own independence, meaning the old dead man. Go put him in the grave. Leave him in the grave. Reckon him dead. Yes, he wants to come up occasionally, but put him back down. Amen? Why? You can. Why? You have self-control. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit is greater than the old man. You put the death, the deeds of the sins of the flesh, it says in Romans 8, by the Holy Spirit, not by you. You can't do it. I can't do it. But the Holy Spirit, He can do so. Someone told me the other day, man, I can't wait till the millennium. We're going to be reigning with Christ 1,000 years. And I said, praise the Lord. But why don't we reign with Him now? Why don't we reign in this life right now by one Christ Jesus? Right now, church. I'm talking about really living, not playing church, not playing Christian, but really doing so. The only way that's going to happen is when the Holy Spirit of God has His way. I was listening to a man, and I'm closing, but I was listening to a man last night, someone that I really have enjoyed for over 50 years. And he made a comment. He was talking about his life and the hurt, the tragedy, and the things that he did wrong, and how he went and tried to make amends to the people that he had wounded and the people that he had hurt. When the show, or it was actually a documentary, when it was over about his life, he's in his late 70s now, and he made a comment. I wrote it down. It was so powerful to me. He says this. He says, time is the final currency. What a word. Time is the final currency. Time. Here we are. A to B, birth to death, and all the in-between of living. Some of us are closer to going home than others are. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, do we? No, we don't know. Listen, you see, you can manage time, but you can't retrieve time. You can't get what you've lost. You can't get it back. If you are a believer, I beg you in Christ's name, and I do it with such tender love toward everyone, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Let the Spirit have His way. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name for Your word, Your holy word, the word that You have exalted above Your very name, O Father. Bring revival. Bring us back, Lord. We are walking dynamite. We have all of You living in us and so little of You coming out of us. Oh God, how we need You to help us. You've given us everything that we need. Break our selfishness. Oh God, break our stiff necks. We want the Spirit to have His way in this church, in our lives. And as our heads are bowed and no one looking around, and please, every Christian, just praying for a minute. Do you know Jesus Christ? Is Jesus your Lord? Have you asked Jesus to come and live in your heart? If you haven't, you can do so right now. If that's you, listen, just lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want my sins forgiven. Just lift it up, put it right back down. Don't come down here. If that's you, though, if that's you, up and down, that's all I'm asking. Well, Father, I believe that all of us must know the Lord this morning. I pray that's the case. I'm thankful, Lord. I'm thankful for the day. I'm thankful for my life. I'm thankful for the journey. It's been quite a party. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And we all say, Amen.